I guess I could just call this the same as last week, but it's not, and most of it, though a lot of it is. But I would ask, if you will, to turn with me to the 19th Psalm. Would you bow with me as we unite our hearts? I trust we do that in approaching the true living God. Our Father, all of us in self are helpless creatures. We would do, but find that we have not that power. And not only have not that power, but find that evil is present and would push us in the other direction. Lord, all I can ask is for help. No creature capable or suitable to declare truth. And Lord, as far as that, you have to make us all worthy to receive truth. For in ourselves, we're not. We're just empty-handed creatures at the throne of mercy again. Would you open our hearts? And Lord, would you open your mouth? For if all these hear is mine, they hear nothing. Lord, help today. May thy great name be honored. And may our Lord, our Savior, be exalted. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm not going in any length cover last week. And change the title a little bit to that in Revelation 20, verse number 7, the 1,000 years are expired. Now the 1,000 years began when our Lord finished his work. He entered into the strong man's territory, into his house. And he bound the strong man that had been deceiving the nations. And then that great cry from the cross is finished. It meant that God's great redemptive plan had now been carried out. That did not mean that all the wheat had been gathered, that all God's children had been saved. But it was just a matter of time before all that would come about. Those he purchased will be with him in glory. Now in Psalm 19, beginning with verse 1, and again I almost hesitate. Read this so many times to you. but we can't close our Bibles because we've read them. So verse number 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. That's only partially true. The great God of all creation has been lost. And you tell me if any looking up into the heavens today would say, "My, that's just the handiwork of God. See its vastness, see its beauty." But it has nothing to do with God today, for the God of Scripture is all but gone. Now day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. And there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And in that, heavens, in that firmament, hath He, God, set a tabernacle for the sun. Now we say we need the sun, and it is so in many ways. To provide the light, to keep all the planets in their right orbit, to provide the warmth that the earth needs. And yet God could have done all that in some other way had He chosen to do so. He took care of the ground for a long time, years upon end, without a drop of rain falling from heaven. But God set the sun up there for a purpose. And He tells you in the next verse why the sun is there, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run the race. So He came out. He identified Himself as the Son of God, the Son of Man. He was without sin. And He came for a particular purpose, and that was the redemption of His church. But Malachi 4:2 says, "You that fear My name, shall the S-U-N, the only place that the Son is ever capitalized in Scripture, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healings in His wings." So two places that God said the natural Son is there to show you the eternal Son, the Son of God. And the only purpose, number one, that the bridegroom come out of his chamber, and that was to redeem all God had given him. "Those that Thou hast given me," John 17:11. I don't pray for the world, I pray for those that You've given. When in John 4 He said He must needs go through Samaria, that was necessary because one that God had given Him in eternity was down there. She was in sin, she was in bondage to Satan, but the strong man had to come out and deliver one of His children, that part of His bride. So the sun comes out of his chamber in the east. You know that. And binding the strong man when he entered the scene, finished his work, entered into the place of the strong man's abode, and bound him, that was the beginning of a new day. Up until this time, the disciples' ministry was only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go there, don't go anyplace else. And then, when he rose, he said, "Now repentance and remission of sin shall be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So the gospel, the bridegroom as the sun, rising in Jerusalem, and from that beginning point, he has made his circuit throughout the entire world. As that great light moved into homes, villages, towns, then cities, then nations, darkness was expelled. And as that light entered into all those dwellings, Paul said, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to those that are lost, whom the God of this world had blinded their eyes, lest they see of the glorious gospel, or the light of the glorious gospel, shine unto them and they be saved. And then verse 6, Paul used creation. For God, who commanded the light to shine, hath in our hearts given the light of the knowledge of God. So God in Christ, or Christ as God, whichever, both are right. He set the disciples on a course that would spread out from Jerusalem and end up going throughout all the world. Not them physically, but their converts that God might call to go preach, and then their converts until the gospel had made its circuit around the world. So the sun made its path from the east. From the Lord's day, that day that he arose, it became brighter and brighter until about noonday. When it was at its brightest, Peter stood up and preached. 5,000, 3,000 converted. The disciples scattered about everywhere preaching the gospel. And then that great missionary evangelist Paul comes along, and the gospel began making its way out from Jerusalem and Judea, until he had covered Asia. In the synagogues, Paul entered daily, so that all they in Asia that dwelt there heard the word of the Lord. But now the sun begins moving. Jerusalem is not in the great light that it was in. And the sun begins moving towards the west. And as it moved towards our direction, the light in the east was dimmed. Then in the 1600s, there was a little glimmer of the rays of the sun coming up here in this newfound land. And in the pilgrims the sun began to rise. And then in the 1700s, when Brainerd was missionary to the Indians in North America there in New York and other places, and Jonathan Edwards preaching the gospel, that was in the 1700s, was when the sun was at its height in our land. It was still a lot of light in the 1800s. And by the middle of the 1900s, it all was but out. Now, when I say it was all but out, that does not mean that God will not save individuals in a nation, but He will not save large groups anymore. When the light went out in Israel, I used to listen 45 years ago to a Jew. Came out of Texas down there daily with the broadcast, and he called it the Christian Jew Hour. Though there was no great light in Israel, God still was saving one of those here and there. Now the light of the gospel is almost out. The 1,000 years are expired, and Satan has been loosed to deceive once again all nations, bringing them back to the original darkness prior to the gospel and the light that the gospel shed in those nations. And him being loosed, moved. Darkness moved into nations, into cities, into towns, into villages, and into homes. And the nation then being in darkness, and any remaining light was hated. And the sun doesn't set immediately, and all of a sudden there's complete darkness. God has given you that evening when the sun is sinking, and then behind the western sky, you still have light, but it's all but out. Now look with me to John chapter 3. And verse number 9. Remembering our title, the 1,000 years are expired. John chapter 3 and verse number 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. So the light in the nation dwindles in the large cities, then in the towns, then in the little villages and communities outside the town, and into the homes. And because men love darkness, great effort has been applied to putting out the light. If the church was living holy lives, she would be hated. But not so much now, because light from the people of God exposes their wickedness, their corruption, and immorality. But the attack, now we don't see it. It's not out in the open. It's not plainly manifest yet. But the attack has already begun on truth. And Satan and all his little cohorts are set on ridding what remaining light we have in our land and in our homes. And he does that in the church, because the true church is the remaining little candle God has left in our land. Used to be, it was a great city set on a hill. that manifested its light. But now that group of people that was a beacon on that hill has begun to fade. There will be one day no people calling Kirith a church. When it gets down to the towns, and then the communities, then he moves inside that little chamber there where he's met with his people for a long time. And then little factions set in, they begin here and there. One gets disgruntled and it spills over to another. One becomes very selfish and has to have his or her way, and they're not being recognized as they should for all that they do. I remember a good friend, used to be, we parted ways a long time ago, but he was a graduate, finished one of the highest in his class, and he came out of Bob Jones as having this title to be the next Billy Graham in America. But he came across the doctrines of grace, and the Lord opened his eyes to those, and that destroyed his public ministry, and he was left only in little churches where he was evangelist and pastor for many years. But he was telling me about a friend, a young preacher that had moved into a community, and he had been visiting all the people that had quit. And he got to this old couple, and he wouldn't know, why'd you quit? And they said, because they wouldn't put the piano where we wanted it. And he said, okay, we'll get the piano put where you want it if you'll come back. He said, where do you want the piano? The old man looked at Mom and said, Mom, where do we want that piano? I mean, that's how a little thing can become so blown up. Now, Jesus said, if your eye, that's the only place I get light. If your eye becomes evil, then thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And how great is that darkness if the light in your eye goes out. So from heads of government to local authorities, Satan has invaded. And from there he goes down to individuals, but he always comes disguised. He never comes up to you. Well, he doesn't come personally to any of us. If the great apostle had a little demon that gave him all that trouble, then you and I have only little demons that are aggravating and accusing and suggesting this and that to us. But that little demon always comes disguised. He may be a good friend. But if you'll hang around with them long enough, you'll find out that good friend is only a good friend as far as temporal things are concerned. And when it comes to eternal things, they don't have anything that they can discuss with you. You get into things below, they get into things below, and all of a sudden you're beginning to see, well, I'm not exactly on the same page as what my so-called best friend is. And you end up not having that best friend or going in the direction of that best friend. And then that friend, so-called, says, I'm a Christian. I go if I feel like it. If I don't feel like it, I don't. I go wherever I want. It doesn't matter where. Some, now 40 years ago, came back into this area and began pastoring. There was one man that had moved here he and his wife, and he appeared to have become a very good friend to me. I mean, every Christmas he'd bring me two boxes of fruits, and throughout the time of the year, he's always bringing something there. But the man liked old antique cars. I mean, he had a slew of them. He was always missing on Sunday when he carried some of those cars to the show. He let me know right quick in the beginning, we always pray and we always get together and have our little time of devotion, and became very angry with me when I told him that that wasn't gathering with the saints. You can call it what you want, a little devotion or whatever, that's not meeting with them. Now the old wicked one or his little workers may come to you as an angel of light and pat you on the back and credit you with many good works, and you are such a good church member and you're always helping, and all the time he's patting you on the back, he's pointing out the hypocrisy in others. Look at them. Also, when I got back in this area, the mom was broken, wanted to talk with me. I went out there, and some old busybody lived down the road from her, had been talking to her, and she said, "It's not right for your son as a minister to be doing that." What I was doing, I was meeting with some old acquaintances, good people, not all Christians. One of them that helped me so much, took a special interest, was the Mr. Burnside. I was meeting with him. If it hadn't been for my mom, I would have stayed on, because I wasn't doing anything. I mean, we weren't out having big parties. But for her sake, I told him I had to go. He didn't understand. But I told them I had to go. And then Satan's little workers in us, he'll get us beholding a little mote in our brother's eye. And all the while, we got a beam in our own eye that's all but blinding us. But we don't see anything about us. But we sure see well when it comes to other folks. Come as a pickpocket to you, he'll get your attention focused in the wrong direction, all the while stealing your wallet and your watch and necklace and earrings or anything else. That's what he does to us. Or he could come, and Lord knows he's got many a reason to do this. He could come to you pointing out all my failures and faults and say his interest is not in anybody there, it's only in himself. But remember, children, no marvel, 2 Corinthians 11:4, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So you see how from government down to little principalities, down to the church, and in the church he gets all this started, and one day you won't be a church. I don't care how much you pray and how you strive. The light will go out here one day. And Satan will send his little ambassadors throughout the land as false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and folk don't have enough discernment to know the devil from the Holy Spirit. That's because Satan has been loosed. I mean, he's free to operate almost at his choosing and will. Kind of like Job, when God pointed him out, he said, "Well, I can't get to him. You got fences around him." and those old hills that God set up around Israel and Jerusalem, they were to fortify Israel, but later on God said, don't be looking to the hills, you look to me. I will fortify you and take care of you. But do you not see that the light is gone? It's all but out. And behind the hidden agenda in all our government's actions, the overall emphasis is taking away your rights, gaining complete control of you as an individual. And they're doing a pretty good job doing it. But my main focus outside this pulpit is me. What's Satan doing to me? How's he affecting me? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 5. This is the last place today. I wish this could be said of everybody here, but it cannot. Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but God spake and said, let there be light. God removed the darkness. God brought you into the light. God brought you to His dear Son that had bound the strong man who had not completely been set free on you. You were darkness. Not in, you were darkness. But now are you light in the Lord. Now here's the command. Walk as children of light. Everybody here's got somebody watching you. All of you. They're watching your behavior. They're listening to the words that come out of your mouth. They're looking at your attitude. They're wondering, do you have daily devotion? Do you open the book and try to find the will of God? Or has life become so busy for you that you don't have time for these things anymore? Now listen, Paul said in 2 Corinthians number 2, lest Satan get advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. And you better make sure that that little voice in your head is the Spirit of God telling you everything's all right. And it's not the evil spirit patting you on the back and saying you okay. And he'll keep doing that throughout life till you end up in front of God. And God said, depart, I don't know you. The devil's voice became the loudest voice to you. And we cease to be that little beacon on a hill, be the congregation ever so small. We cannot be destroyed from without. It's like Mr. Khrushchev said, we will destroy America without ever firing a shot. Well, we didn't believe him back then when he said it. But you just look at all that's going on and the direction we're headed. That's where you're going to be. As fast as it's going, I can now say that's where we all may be. God spare us just a little longer. But the outside forces can't destroy this, you, the people of this church. But it can, He can from within. Just let the conditions within fester, ripen, and we'll be destroyed. You live in a nation that has never been as divided as it is now. And those in power are intent on keeping it here. They could not have the advantage and the authority and the power that they have except Satan has gained control of this land. Think what you will. Just get honest. It keeps us divided. Adds to that. Then they're infringing on your individual rights and taking that away from you. And then they get you focused on, do I take the shot? Don't I take the shot? Do I wear the mask? Don't I wear the mask? What do I do in all this? I don't know. You're going to have to come to that by yourself. But that's what's destroying us. And as badly as I hate to even mention this, they keep wanting to bring up white against black, black against white. And there was no problem until they made it a problem. And it's all due to darkness having invaded not only our land, but we're the last. We're the last in the West. The sun's gone down. You got a little glimmer of light left here, but how long? Just let the Spirit of God become grieved. He, the Spirit, being God's voice within here, in this place, He will depart, and when He departs, silence will set in, and light will continue to diminish until this place is like that in Christ's day. No more good than buying and selling the sacrificial offerings and making a merchandise out of the house of God. That's what's going to take place. And we know 2 Thessalonians 2:7 that the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Paul said he's already at work. Only he who letteth, that is, prevents or keeps back, that's the he being the Holy Spirit. As long as he keeps back, he will let until he be taken out of the way. And when the Spirit of God is taken out of the way, then God gets silent and chaos sets in. Just a little beginning. So that's what happens to a town, then happens to a community. Loses the Spirit of God, and you've lost God speaking to you, and all we will have left is just an empty shell. Church may be full one day, I don't know. May have programs and activities like everybody else across the land, and may be filled with a scribe in the pulpit just telling you what he's read, and people don't have enough discernment to know a scribe from one that's hearing from God. Everybody walks out, that's a good sermon today. But in all honesty, it won't affect any of us by sundown. That's how soon the Spirit of God leaves us. David, the servant, the king, the man after God's own heart, he said, be not silent unto me, O God. lest if thou be silent, I'll be like those that go down to the pit. God's voice is the only thing keeping me from entering into absolute darkness. And David knew the life of God within can only be fed by the Spirit of God. God talking, and he pleads with God, don't get silent. Let God get silent to you, and you're on a downward plight to the grave. You got to have it. And we have.